Welcome to Kick Back with Chris.
Kick Back with Chris,
the martial arts podcast.
Art Martial.
Art Martial.
Streetwear inspired by martial arts culture.
Hey everyone, so here we are, the first Fight Scene Friday. Yeah, this is going to be the one where we look back at it and cringe and go, what the hell was that? Or it's the only one we ever do, so therefore we don't have to worry about it. So there's a lot.
I unfortunately have a history of starting vlogs and blogs, doing one episode, and then never doing another one ever again, so hopefully that won't go that way.
And for those people listening in, by the way, the voice you can hear there is Mr. Martin Wan, our new Scene Friday co-host. He came on for a podcast, and then the next thing he knew, I'm dragging him back to talk about fight scenes. So the idea with this, guys, is for every other week, Chris, to come on and pick a fight scene. You guys can get involved with that as well if you want to send in suggestions. And yeah, we watch the fight scene together, and then we talk about it. That's basically it. So if you're listening to this now thinking that sounds shit, then turn it off, because it's not going to get much better from there, really, to be fair. It's just lots of us talking about fight scenes. Yeah. So the film that I've been a bit selfish on this one, and I picked the first one because it's kind of my idea anyway. So I went for the gang fight scene from a film called Rumble in the Bronx, specifically the Hong Kong version, which was called Red Bronx. I don't know why, it just is. I should perhaps have researched that.
I don't think I ever knew that until you sent me that clip. I know it's probably poor on my part, but
that's all right. I should have really known as well, to be fair. But there's probably people listening now going, well, it's because you can tell us, you can send us an email. This film for me was the film that sort of got me back interested in martial arts training, and specifically in film work, because it was mad at the time when it came out. It was just mad. But
it was a whole new thing, wasn't it?
Totally. So yeah, a little bit of history on the film for those that haven't watched it. And if you haven't watched it, I don't know how. If you're listening to a podcast about fight scenes, like, you've never seen it. But it was it was released in 1996. So I presume it was probably released 3 weeks, filmed 3 weeks before it was released. No, back then. But I don't know if it was filmed the same year of release. I don't know when it was released in 96, to be fair. So maybe let's say 95. It was shot in Vancouver, even though it's meant to be New York. I think in some scenes you can actually see mountains in the background as well.
Yeah, very famously, can't you? You can just see that it's definitely not New York. fact that the demographics of the Bronx.
Yes. Yeah, and it was designed to be sort of Jackie's vehicle into the American action movie scene. Actually, what I didn't realize as well, it was filmed kind of off the back of him being offered. So he was meant to be Wesley Snipes' character in Demolition Man, Jackie. He was offered that role by Sylvester Stallone.
Very, very different film.
It would have been, wouldn't it? Can you imagine? I think it was the better way around.
Fair, actually, that film was pretty. It did have a lot of comedy in it, actually, yeah. Thinking about it. So maybe it could have worked.
I think Wesley Snipes was actually perfect for that character, though, to be fair. So it was one of those, you know, almost the same, I suppose, in that Police Story was a result of The Protector. This film was I don't know if it was a kind of I can do better than, but I think it was the thing that gave him the idea to, okay, let's push this. And it worked.
He came over and kind of tried to break into that American market, and it didn't really kind of gel.
No.
His way of doing things, and I mean, famously, just didn't really, wasn't able to get what he wanted out of that process.
Yeah.
Vision and everything. Yeah. Probably was a bit of an FU, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe.
Spectacularly.
But it was, I know that it was researching for it, that it was intentionally, even though it was a Hong Kong production, it was done in such a way that it could be sold to the American market, to the Western market. And it works because it was the number one grossing film that weekend, release weekend for, I mean, I don't know what it was up against, but it did well. And obviously internationally it did well as well. But the reason
let's
I picked
check, let's check that to see when it came out. Let's see who was out, who it fucking
who it was
Rumble
against.
Rumble in the Bronx US release. You might
The know. Little Mermaid.
So here we go. So it was released on the 4th of July. Oh, that's UK, sorry. February. Sorry, this is dead air. This is terrible.
That's all right. We can hold on.
US 23rd of February 1996. Okay, so what films were out? How do you find this out? 23rd of February.
So this is top notch podcasting right here.
1996 US cinema releases.
You can just listen to Martin talk slowly into a microphone.
Okay. Rumble in the Bronx. Oh!
Okay.
Rumble in the Bronx was number one.
Yep.
Number two, Broken Arrow.
Oh. Okay.
That was Dr. Walter, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty sure.
Yeah.
It was.
All right. Although, to be fair, opening weekend, it was. Rumble in the Bronx was obviously number one in the weekend, but. Unfortunately, Broken Arrow won in the end.
Okay. Well, it might have won financially, but it will never win my heart. Rumble in the Bronx.
Muppet Treasure Island was number three.
Oh, wow.
Sense and Sensibility, number 11.
We're going to get a full rundown. But anyway, it did well. Let's just say it did well. But the problem with it, as is always the case with these American re-releases, because it was a Miramax job, wasn't it, this? They cut quite a bit out. And some of it, I don't actually understand why they cut out. I mean, there was this famously, I think it was a wedding scene that they took out that I kind of understand that why they maybe took that out. But with the fight sequences, I have no idea why they chopped so much out.
No, and looking at it, it's not as if there was a whole thing, wasn't there, in the West, where sometimes you couldn't show nunchucks.
Yes.
But there's nothing in that scene that's particularly any more violent than the rest of it.
No. No. What I like about this film as well, just before we get into it, is for me, this is, apart from The Foreigner, this is the only Jackie Chan film where he actually kind of goes for a fight. He goes looking for a fight as kind of angry character. It's quite, it's billed as being an action comedy, but it for me anyway, a lot of the fight sequences are more sort of gritty, nasty, violent action sequences. There's elements of comedy in them, but this fight scene in particular is a result of them destroying the shop. And he's like, okay, I won't do any spoilers if you've not watched it. But he's kind of going after them as a result of them doing something.
Yeah, he's angry.
They've come looking for him. He's not there, so they trash the shop. And then he's like, okay, I'm coming for you. And he goes to the...
You're right. What's good about it is the sense of I always quite like the fact that you're right. In this film, he's the kind of character that it's like, well, if he's in a pickle, he is going to win.
He's not running away.
He's going to sort this shit out. Yeah. Mind you, have you seen Crime Story?
Because that's, of course I have.
Yeah, I mean he absolutely wrecks people in that film too.
Yeah. It's not that there aren't others. It's just that predominantly, I think most people do know him as being that comedy action character.
Yeah.
Not the violent, going after people, angry, And ironically, this was the first film that I saw, the first proper Jackie Chan film I ever saw. And I'm like, I need to see more of this guy's films. Like, where are they? I go through all the back catalogue and I'm like, none of them are like this. And then I'm waiting for them. Yeah, I'm waiting for oh, look, there's a new one coming out. And then I'm watching, okay, this is not like that film either. It's quite confusing in that respect. So that's why I've kind of always held on to this one, because it was the film that got me back into martial arts, back into, that got me planted the seed of the whole filmmaking thing. And yeah, it was the film that kind of never happened again, it's the one take deal. Now, interestingly as well, before we actually watch this, it's worth keeping in mind that you're coming up 40 this year, aren't you?
Yes, thanks.
All right, and I'm 44. Jackie was 42 when he did this.
Oh, fuck off.
Yep.
That's not fair.
I know. So when we're watching all of this, just keep that in mind, that he was 42 at the time. And yeah, I know. Anyway, are we good to go? So just one quick thing before we do this, guys, so that in the show notes there is, and probably in the actual episode post as well, there'll be a YouTube clip. Now, logistically with YouTube, I don't know if it's going to throw you an advert before the video starts. So it's probably worth you pausing the podcast, getting the video ready, and then coming back, and I'll give you a 3, 2, 1, and then we'll press play, and we'll see what happens. We've never done this before, so I have no idea what's going to happen.
I don't know yet. Who knows? We're going to have the same experience as you watching the video.
So we're just going to try. We've actually, genuinely, not tried this before recording this either. So this is either going to be amazing or spectacularly bad. All right, we're ready.
Right.
You ready to go? You got your phone ready?
Oh, yeah, I've got to hit play as well.
Okay, ready? So I'll do a 3, 2, 1. Should I do 3, 2, 1 action?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1, action.
Oh, there's no audience.
Okay.
Dance.
So that's
we're very quiet. We need to be talking. I'm like, I want to watch this film.
And he walks up to the pool table's missing from the international version as well. For some reason.
Yeah, I'm trying to watch now and see what the difference is. Classic.
This is all the same so far. Here we go.
This is a great. Now that's one of the most famous misses.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's on my notes.
First one, the very first one as well, just does not connect at all. But I remember watching this combination over and over and over again. It's very interesting. I'm not sure who this guy is. I don't know who this actor is. I don't know if he did any of his own fight work or if it's completely.
Yeah, he is. He was actually a stunt guy.
Oh, okay.
He did very few acting roles. He was actually a stunt guy.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense given how he performs the rest of the film.
Whoa. Oh,
straight onto the pinball machine. Ching.
Yeah, so this so far is all the same. There's nothing any different in this at all.
So we're seeing cool. Sort of like a lot, the Opus Dei are kind of like, you know, the Jackie versus a lot of people with props kind of style of fighting. Well, really encapsulated that like 90s kind of vibe for him.
This whole warehouse was empty. And this is all stuff that they brought in for the fight. You can just see all the reason for everything now, can't you? Like,
yeah. Great combo.
This is amazing. I love this section here.
You need to
540 over the fridge. I mean, that's badass. That.
Yeah, I think we've all tried doing that, haven't we?
Oh, 540 over the fridge. Totally. The timing on this section is really so cool.
It's almost difficult to talk about it in real time.
I know.
It's so intricate and so quick.
Okay, and here we go. Everyone's tried this at least once. Any stunt performer out there that's seen this film has tried that at least once. This here you go. That's missing from the. International release.
Is it the kick with the baseball?
Baseball bat, yeah.
Is it really? I think I'm sure.
This is missing as well. This makes more sense.
There's more glass breaking in this one. And I don't think this goes on for quite as long, does it?
And this, I mean, why? Why that sound? And this is longer now. This whole section is longer with the pinball machine.
Yeah, I think maybe it's the glass thing, you know.
Yeah, maybe, possibly.
But also, I think it could just be they just wanted the scene to be a bit shorter. It's funny with these sort of international releases. They're like, right, we need to stick it to within a specific,
The scene where they're throwing bottles at him in the alleyway is shorter as well. They cut a lot of that out, so it might just be a whole bottle of glass violence.
There you go, glass.
There you go. This is long as well now, this section with the ski. Famous
Fourth
section
good.
The ski.
Great. Using it like a spear.
More sense. Makes more sense.
But I tell you what, thinking back to the international release, I never particularly felt that it didn't make sense. So
no.
They did a reasonable job of cutting it down.
Yeah, they did. Definitely did. Poor Alan Sit here gets hit in the nuts and in the face multiple times.
Yeah, he gets a lot more in the international to the nuts.
There we go. So there we go. It worked.
Right. Well, we watched a fight. We watched a fight scene and recorded us watching it.
So we didn't talk very much which I thought might happen a little bit, but but still, it worked. Right. So now we can get into it in depth now. So What I've got here, I've made some notes. I'm sure Martin made some mental notes as we were watching that as well. I'm sure he did, the pro that he is. So if you keep the video, however you've been watching it, guys, if you keep it open, what I'm going to do is we can both reference different parts in the time code. You can find it and you can watch exactly what it is. But actually, interesting enough, you've already taken my very, very first one, which was...
Oh, sorry about that.
It's all right, because that's the whole point, you know. 30 seconds in, that famous missed punch. The big old mists. I mean, it's massive.
It's huge. It's the kind of thing where you think, was that on purpose? Because it's so big.
And there is a sound effect. I double checked. I watched this version and I watched multiple other versions of it. And there is a sound effect for a punch hit on every single one.
I think maybe was it choreographed originally not to be a hit?
Maybe it was.
He holds it there for a second.
It's like, yeah. It's almost like a, I don't know, almost like a, not a threatening thing, but like a, that could have, I could have. But I didn't.
Let's see his head snap reaction. Because if this guy is a stunt guy, he'd have a good head reaction.
There is a head snap, but it's not a snap. It's more of a pullback, like a whoa.
Yeah. I think maybe. I don't know. Who knows? The only man that ever know would be the man himself, I suppose.
Yeah.
But loses nothing from the scene, really, which goes against everything you know, doesn't it?
Because your eyes are drawn to the movement. And interestingly, again, with that whole thing, what he's doing with his arm there, it's actually reminiscent of the whole drive Mark Dacascos thing. Do you remember that? It was so cool. But it's circling back, isn't it, as he's doing it? He's circling and looking at it.
Yeah.
And I think that's to try and, again, something that they didn't really do very much of in any of his other films, but I think they're trying to tie this back into the Wing Chun dummy reference at the start of the film.
Oh, of course, yeah. His dad's dummy.
Yeah, at the start, and
his dad or his uncle? No, that's his uncle's flat.
It's his uncle's flat, and it's his dad, and he's using it. What does he say?
It was something your father's.
Would have been used for firewood many years ago, or something like that, wouldn't he? Something like that. That scene, it's amazing. But yeah, I think that's what they're trying to do with that whole bit. Is they're trying to reference it, which they do again at 36 seconds, 35, 36. With this
thing,
whole...
I liked about this one, sorry to interrupt with the thing. There wasn't a lot of one-on-ones in this film, really.
No.
A lot of it was very much exploring his like props, one versus a lot of people. So I think this like pool table. What's this guy's name?
Akerman or something. Mark Akerstream. So it's spelled Akerstream.
So this point with Mark is a really nice one-on-one street fight.
Yeah,
sort of like martial arts stylistic hybrid, which is, I think, you know, harks back to what we say in terms of our discoveries of Jackie Chan films, because I think this was maybe the second Jackie Chan film I watched after Young Master. So obviously a lot of one-on-ones in Young Master and very, very stylized, shape-based traditional. So seeing that one-on-one was like, oh, wow. You know, it's a bit more down to a bit more gritty, but like it still has that intricacy and that rhythm.
Yeah, definitely. But that, again, I think this is something that I don't remember really seeing any movements like this in any of his other films. But this section that I think is about 39, 45 seconds, 36 seconds in, with his arms, bam, 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 across his back and he's crossing. That's definitely, for me, trying to make some sort of reference back to the Wing Chun dummy sort of thing at the start, which is cool because you don't tend to see, I don't remember really any of the seeing, apart from the really older films, Jackie having a specific style referenced in his films. He just has a Jackie Chan fight style, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he makes his his own stylistic, even when he's playing Wong Fei Hung in Drunken Master. It's his Drunken Master style that he's made up. You know, there are some moments, we're kind of segueing, but there are some moments in Drunken Master 2 where he pulls out some Hungar shapes.
Yeah, yeah.
Specifically in the factory scene at the end.
Yeah.
Before he then starts drinking the alcohol. But it's not, you know, super, super, like, laser-focused on that. You're right.
I mean, apart from the, obviously they established the wooden dummy at the start, and it just feels like at different points through the film this sort of reference back, which is nice because that's it's a nice attention to detail that they don't you don't generally see in his films. So apart from obviously Drunken Master 2, which is, you know, it's not that I forgot about that, but I suppose the whole focus of the film is on the style.
You're right though. But even that though, it's still the movements and stuff that he's come up with. Like he likes Snake, and all the early ones like Snake in the Eagle Shadow. Yeah. Like stuff. It's just all his movements.
Yeah. So yeah, it's the those films are about essentially about the system, whereas this film obviously it's not. It's just they've actually taken the time to go, oh, here's the character of Kyung. This is, oh look, he does a Wing Chun dummy. And they reference something, I don't know if it's in this version, but in the American version about him being a Hong Kong champion or something. When he's talking to the little, because the little kid comes in his wheelchair, doesn't he? He talks about him being, oh, this is Kyung, Hong Kong champion. Oh, I see you still practice. I can't remember quotes from many films, but this one I've watched it so many times. But yeah, back onto this, what we're doing. 40 seconds in, he was messaging me. Oh, that's actually Mike Leader messaging me. The irony of that. So 40
he
seconds
might
in that
to see, isn't
he probably will. He listens to all the podcasts. He's a good follower, is Mike. Good supporter. 40 seconds in, the fall. That fall's gnarly, isn't it? That's badass fall.
I'm gonna put my YouTube to like 0.5 speed.
Ah, that's a good idea. Right, actually, playback speed. 0.5. I'm going to do the same thing. It's fantastic. Yeah, so
he's come off the lampshades.
That fall at 40 seconds is badass. He's not padded either.
No pads on his elbows.
And if you've ever jumped on a pool table before, they are hard. The edges of those things are hard.
I mean, maybe he had something on his knees. But
well, I've looked and I can't see because he's only got a black vest and jeans on and you can't see anything that I can see. Maybe
the
top. You think? Pads on the top. You think so? At the top of his thighs?
I reckon, yeah. Why not?
But even then, I mean, fuck hell.
Yeah, it's going to.
To be fair, and I mean, of all the decisions to make him wear that very 90s vest.
Reminiscent of his early years of glamour.
Yeah, some of those photo shoots. They're amazing. But then, of course, now we can't have any elbow pads. So
yeah,
he's dropping down on that pool table. And again, remember, he's 42.
I really love the pace change as well, just before the 1 minute mark, in terms of movements, when our Mark runs back in, it's a block, punch to the face, and then the sort of the little grab exchange.
Yeah.
Over the back. And it's a really nice, like, in terms of the beat and the rhythm of the fight, it really leads up nicely to the crescendo of that where he goes into the pinball machine.
Yeah.
It shows you, like, his awareness, obviously, one of the best, is arguably the best choreographer.
Yeah.
But, like, just that, how you can kind of get that shift of pace that kind of builds up to a crescendo in a fight, and that nicely finishes it, and then you can move on to the next section of the fight.
Mm. The kick at 47 seconds as well, when onto the pool table. That is awesome. And what I love about that as well is that, I mean, that's one of those things where if you're doing it onto a crash mat or in your gym or on a matted floor, you do it all day long, but that's from ground level.
Well, I was going to say, do you think he had a step on that or a box? Because I'm looking at that now and he's a bit higher. I think you look at right at the start of the movement where he takes off.
Yeah.
I think he's on a step.
I mean, let's...
Of course, why wouldn't you?
Let's say he does. I mean, he's still got to land it on the damn pool table. It's not a sprung floor. it's cool. And what it's actually nice is that, and again, I don't know if this is by design, but that kick now that he's done there is essentially a variation on it is used two more times in this fight scene.
Oh, the kind of donkey kick.
Yeah, the sort of almost lay down 540 style. I mean, that's it. Sort of
sorry, right, that one. I was looking at the one the bit after that. Yeah.
The onto the table itself. That is referenced again. Okay, so because I've written all these down on here. So 47 seconds. I've actually written it in somewhat shorthand. I've referenced something at 52 seconds. I don't actually. Oh yeah. So again at 52 seconds. So he's blocked the kick. There's another Wing Chun reference here now. You see with the block to the punch. So yeah, 52 seconds. Are you seeing that? Yeah. So it. Blocks a punch, bah, 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 parries and punches, and then again, block, boom, boom. Yeah, and that crazy over the head, almost, not over the head, over the shoulder, sort of scorpion style kick before they throws him onto the pinball table. It's nuts.
I mean, watching this in slow motion, you know, this is great work.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jackie and this guy are, you know, both done performance.
I know. It's
so tight.
It's awesome.
And then that throw into the pinball machine. I mean, that
it's badass. I mean, I tried to watch that a few times to see who it is. It's really hard on this version, and I've watched the international version with the. Because originally,
I think his hair's longer. The guy that is the pinball machine's got longer.
Well, I thought originally it was Alan Sitt, but he's actually stood to the left of him looking at him. So it isn't.
It's someone else. If you look at his hair.
Yeah, and the way he lands as well. He does a stereotypical arm across, look to the floor, arm across the face to cover himself.
It's just the fact that he takes the hit on the pinball machine, which is obviously fine, and that's going to be painful. I mean, they must have padded it, but like it's still going to be painful. And then he just lands on his head.
Yeah.
After the concrete. Like, double whammy there.
And what's really cool as well is from this point on, something I noticed is there's an awful lot of long hair and hats.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm willing to bet that a lot of these guys got killed off, like 18 times through this fight scene. It's probably the same group of five guys getting killed multiple times. We've all been there and done that before on stuff.
Beard or two that doesn't make sense.
I know. But this whole exchange now, following on from now, actually, I didn't write this in my notes, I don't think. But I'm just trying to think where it is now. At 113, same style crescent style kick that he just did it on the pool table. Does it again over the? I don't even know what that is. It's some sort of light up bar.
It's a water container.
Is it? Is that what it is? When he kicks the guy in the. It's a light. What? 1 minute. 1 minute and 12.
Water thing.
Is it? Okay. Well, kicking the guy in the hat.
Industrial water tank.
He's got a barcode style hat on. Why? Some sort of. It's like when he's covering his head up. What are we going to put on his head? What have we got? I don't know. Stick this on. It's like one of those things you see them wearing in the Victorian things with the. Where do they go to bed?
Yeah, you're right.
What is it?
You're right. Okay, what have we got?
Stick that on his head so we can't see he's been killed already. Bang! He'll have that. And then you go into this whole sequence with the guy when the guy goes over the chair. I mean, if the way he folds over the chair, so he's got this chair, he's spinning around, kicking the guys, and then the guy like when he falls over the chair, that roll is it's like he's made out of rubber. Where is it on the time code? So what, 1:26:27, somewhere around there. When he falls, the way he rolls over the chair. It's like the guy's made out of rubber. You're catching up with it now.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a very energetic performance. I mean, he's really gone for it, isn't he, there?
Yeah.
He actually, like, dives into the chair before the chair gets there. Obviously, watching it in slow motion, you're going to pick up on these things. But, like, it works with the energy of the scene.
It does. Are you still going at 0.5 as well? Yeah, I'll change mine back. You're doing. Cool. So the next thing that I noted was 1:42, which I actually spoke about when we were watching it, the 5:40 over the fridge. Is it a 5:40 or is it technically lay down? I don't know, but I don't know what it is. But it's I like the before that as well. The way he does the hero pose punch, almost Bruce Lee style. Then sees the
shot.
Yeah, but that is he's definitely a 5:40 movement, isn't it? Over the fridge. But that is, yeah. I mean that like right, couple of things that
does
going
he have
on
a
here.
Wire?
He's not wired. he's not wide. You can see from his movement.
You can often very, it's very obvious when, obviously later on, you know, in his career, he did start to.
This is before, before he broke his ankle.
Yeah, exactly. So
for me, I've mentioned this before on the podcast before. For me, this is the film. Everything after this changed. He moved differently after Run the Bronx. You know, you can see it in Thunderbolt. You can see it in everything else. I mean, in Thunderbolt, he was still, from what I'm told and from what I've made out, he was still suffering pretty bad with his ankle. But he'd said he was committed to doing it, yeah. Which is why there's so many doubles in Thunderbolt, because
you're right. You know, I think this scene probably is the peak of Jackie Chan.
Everything after this is different. Very, very different. But I mean, in itself, that is a hard thing to do, is throw a 540 movement over an object when the floor is unsighted and land it and then throw another kick out of it. That's hard. And then add to that, I mean, by no means is he a granddad, but he's 42. That's hard. That's really hard. And this is the thing. I mean, a lot of times I think people, I'm going to use a modern kid's phrase, not to sleep on his kicks. But a lot of people do, like, I don't think they count him. When you say, name your top kickers in martial arts films, not many people say Jackie Chan. And for me, I think he had some good kicks. And especially that sequence with the pool, with the table, with the bottles.
Yeah, there's a lovely chamber control there. Sure, as a technician as yourself,
yeah,
you'll appreciate that.
Yeah, and that for me, I don't think many people ever talk about that movement over the fridge. The only thing that I don't like about it, which would have been nice, was if it was a little wider so you can see him landing. You can't see his foot, but it's framed for the hit because he's famous for the whole. You know, the connection, the hit's got to be center frame, and it is. There's actually a tiny miss, but I mean, you can't see it when it's full speed. And obviously the distance is, I mean, the stunt guy's positioned really close to the camera. But movie magic and all that, it works because you react.
I'll find it again. I'm going to have a look at it one more.
Oh, we lost you there for a second. You're back now.
I'm going to look at it one more time.
Maybe
I can't find it.
It is, if you just go to minute 43, minute 42. Yeah, the way it's set up, the angle is as such to sell a reaction to the stunt guy, but it's.
Oh, no, I think it's perfectly shot. I don't need to see his landing.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I'm probably being selfish from the point of view of wanting to celebrate the technique as such.
Yeah.
But it's still cool. And I think if you look at similar examples, albeit a long time before, like Yung-Byu doing the same sort of thing in Lucky Stars, coming off the barrel roll off the container, going into the 540.
Oh, I mean, that was his signature move, wasn't it, Yung-Byu?
Oh, it's just
540 hook or 540.
Exactly. And I just, that's the only thing with that shot. It's like, if I'd seen his landing, it would probably, because he does a similar thing in Miracles, in the fight scene in the whatever that place is. And he finishes off, and he does a similar thing in Drunken Master 2 as well, actually, in the marketplace. Anyway, I'm going on to different films now. And then the, let me see, 147. I mentioned this when we were watching it at real time. But the timing on this whole section with the fridge and the guy swinging the baseball bat, open the door, flick the TV, hit one guy, kick one guy, throw him in the fridge, kick him in the face. That whole bit is just...
It's lovely. I'd love to know how many takes that shot.
Yeah.
Because there's that one wide shot where the point where he puts him in the fridge.
Yeah.
Because a lot of this scene is very kind of short takes.
Yes.
Which works really well. But that one bit is like, there's 5 or 6 beats in that one shot.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I wonder how long that took to get right.
Yeah, that must have. I mean, knowing what he's like, even
three thing punch, side kick, grab into the fridge, and another kick. and then close the door. Yeah. So that's like, that's how, what did I, that, nine? Nine?
Yeah.
10 movements to get right there in that one
I
shot.
Dare say, even if they got it right every time, they'll have done it 6-7 times. Just to have options. But then, of course, it goes into the famous through the trolley. And actually, always really liked, although it's a little hammy, the reaction from the guy when he kicks the back of the trolley up into his face, it's very over the top, but it works. When you think that it's only the back of a trolley.
Oh, yeah.
And the reaction is like it's been hit under the chin with a cricket bat.
Hey, he's got a lot of power in those kicks. No, that would transfer through the trolley basket.
But then have you ever tried going up through a trolley like that? So you must have done it.
No, I haven't.
It's hard. Have you not? No. It's hard.
Never.
It's really hard to do. Because I don't know whether it is just a trolley. I don't know, because of the way you can see how it's framed. You can't see the trolley wheels. So I don't know whether somebody's holding it.
Oh, I would have thought so, yeah.
Or what? But it's damn hard to do.
I remember him saying in maybe my stunts that they tried to find a smaller trolley.
A smaller one?
Yeah, because he was like, a normal trolley is too boring or something. I remember. There's a quote from there.
I remember trying to do that in Asda car park or Tesco car park or something like that. And I ripped my arms to shreds. Because it's all the sharp edge bits of all when it, you know, they don't build trolleys with the idea of, you know, full grown men trying to dive roll through the back of them. And I decided I was going to have a bit of that. But then this next bit, with the baseball bat on the floor, is definitely, it's not in the international release. And I don't know whether they've cut it.
Are you sure on that? Because I've seen that.
Yeah,
so
it's definitely not. It really isn't. It 100% isn't. So when he jumps on the baseball bat, because he does, like, if you watch, it's almost reminiscent of the Drunken Master, you know, when he's doing the lady, I don't know, I can't remember the name of the style now.
Yeah.
And he does that little click kick up behind. And I'm wondering whether this is why they took it out, because it is a bit flowery. It's not really a very violent style kick, like a little cheeky behind the ass twist kick. I mean, the twist kick's lovely.
You know what's good about this scene with all the empty bottles? This guy at like 2:13 or something.
Let's have a look.
He's like, let's get this box of recycled bottles.
Yeah.
So these guys are just like, you know, like
she's standing them back up.
These are all like gangbangers or whatever, but like, you know, they're like, well, they've been like recycling bottles this whole time. So they're doing good. They're doing good.
I just always love that, the fact that they're having this big fight scene and she's like, oh, better tidy up the pool table. Yeah. And then they start throwing them around. But that's the kick of the kick section I referenced earlier, actually.
I love, sorry to go back, because obviously we're going to that next session. I just love that kind of like very cartoon like squat jump thing he does down.
Yeah. It is, but it is. But this again, talking about how long did they spend on sections? I wonder how long they actually spent on this. What I don't get as well is, right, so if you look at hang on a minute, so he jumps down, and I get this right. Yeah, at 2:12, she tips the bottles out of the box.
Yeah.
She then starts throwing them at him. And then you cut back and she's standing them all back up. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
She tips them out. I mean, it serves the choreography, I guess. And I suppose if your eyes are drawn to what she's doing, something's gone wrong with the fight. But
does she just have OCD?
It's mad. She tips the bottles out, throws some at him, and then thinks, oh, this isn't working. Better tidy them away.
Like, God damn it, this is the third gang fight this week. I just want to have my bottles tidy.
Yeah.
I have my skis and my pinball machines all nicely tidied up. God damn it.
Here we go again. But that whole exchange with the flicking the bottles around is just, I mean,
She's mad now. Look, look, she gets the baseball bat.
Yeah.
She's like, you guys are too messy. This is the, I'm up.
But the, when he picks the bottle up and spins it round and catches it, before the bottle spin was a thing.
That's
what
great.
What always annoyed me, though, is why did they use that comedy clang sound?
I thought it was all right. I liked it. It's a bit of a, for me, it was a bit of like a breathe out moment, you know? I think you've got to have these, like, these kind of lulls. That's just Jackie, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but still.
Don't forget, he's teaching him a lesson, isn't he, at the end of the day? He's not in there to seriously hurt anyone.
What I always thought was cool is after this as well, not long after this whole, because we're on the, I'm just looking at the pinball exchange, the exchange around the pinballs machines, which again is much longer in this version. Not long after this, suddenly all of the gang people develop martial arts skills. They all start throwing kicks and things. It's interestingly enough. But if you remember the outtakes, the final part when he drops behind the pinball machine, he actually squashes his head between the machine and the pallet, the wall behind him, and that must have hurt. That must have hurt. Getting a pinball machine to the forehead must have been damn.
I love that little insert there with the. Female lead, can't remember what her name is.
Yeah, when she just randomly turns up and WWE punches the
I love that. I love that moment. I copied that exactly for Liberator.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
The only thing is, she has a bit of wood.
I remember now. You put it in the team reel, didn't you? She hits it with a Hacksaw Jim Duggan. She. The 2x4, but I think it's what he's after. So straight after he flicks the, so he gets up from underneath the pinball machine. It's at about 2:55. The gang fighters are like, "No, we're going to screw bottles and baseball bats. Now we've discovered martial arts," and they all start kicking him. He gets kicked by two of them. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, need to escalate, right?
We have all this time. We could have been doing this, but we haven't. And then obviously, then we go to the. I'm just going to leave this play in now and talk over it. But he finds the ski, and it's just like amazing. We get to see some ski foo. And the guy, yeah. So this is a lot of the red shirt. The guy in the red shirt is, I think it's Alan, one of his stunt guys again. It's flitting between obviously the performer, whoever he is, they've seen, and the stunt guy. You can see if you watch it carefully.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And all of these now, when he comes out and he's fighting them all out outside.
I just love that shirt that he's got on, the red shirt. It's like a bolero shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can just see it's back. Every single person that comes in is back to the camera, and they've all got long hair and hats for the reactions. It's all this stunt team.
Yeah. Oh, there's some really good hits with this.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. He was probably smacking him with the ski, to be fair.
I would have thought so. Yeah, because to be honest, you know, skis are only rigid in one plane.
Yeah.
If you've ever been skiing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They
bend
one way and they
it sting a bit.
Yeah.
Bit of a slap.
Absolutely.
But that I mean, the comedy of him, you know, smacking Alan with the ski and the nuts in the face repeatedly, bang, 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 bang. I remember seeing
like,
that.
Like, dude, just walk backwards.
Yeah.
Why are you? You like this? Yeah. I hear them.
Have another. And the way it just carries on is brilliant. But there's the shin shot he does as well. I can't remember where the time code of it, but when he's come out, when he's come out the sliding door and he's taking them out one at a time, he does that Wing Chun-esque shin kick, the sort of inverted side kick to the shin, which I think is, again, it's a nice little hark back to the Wing Chun style for the character.
It is nice that they've not gone overboard with that stuff, but it makes sense for the story.
It just pepper it every now and again, you know. And then he's back to 5-14 over fridges and doing big kick exchanges over pool tables. But yeah, I think, you know, for me, that now that you mention it, that fight scene is sort of did it because there aren't any of the fight scenes. Because there was actually meant to be, from what I've read, there was meant to be a big fight at the end. There's meant to be a big fight scene at the end. This wasn't meant to be the big fight scene of the film.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do sort of remember being a bit disappointed about that at the time, actually, yeah. when I first watched it, because you do expect, it's a bit unfair to be disappointed, because obviously this is an amazing action scene, but at the point in the movie where it is, mm-hmm. it doesn't feel like the culmination, and then obviously you get all that fun stuff with the hovercraft and all that, and
yeah.
But you never quite get, and obviously, you know, obviously, I don't know what the schedules were like, but as you say, he broke his ankle, didn't he? So maybe, yeah. I don't know, maybe there was something they had in mind and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, but the fake Lambo, the shell over whatever car it is for a Lamborghini. But I mean, like you say, it's still fun, but it makes you think, oh, you know, what could have been if there hadn't been that jump down to the hovercraft, which it doesn't really add anything to it, does it?
No, it's just a cool stunt. So you've got like the first stunt in the shop in the mini mart.
Yep, and then you've got the
got a problem, and then there's the one in the
when he's rescuing the girl when they establish, and then he gets beaten up with the bottles, and then she takes him back, and then they've got all that weirdness. And then he's randomly going out for a walk to the shops or something, covered in plasters and stuff, and then they spot him. And he does like the hop over the balloons, and they chase him.
Yeah, and the famous jump the alleyway and then that's sort of it, really.
You've got the brief exchange in the bedroom when they're looking for the cushion, when he does the cartwheel and smacks the guy with the
cartwheel
crutch.
And grab the gun. Yeah, that's a great move.
Yeah, when he flicks up the crutch from the floor and hits him in the face, and then does the cartwheel and gets the gun. Yeah.
Oh, and there's a lovely moment there where he's throwing progressively nasty
bigger things. Yeah, because he unloads the gun and hits him with it, and he like stands and looks at him, doesn't he? And then he ends it with a wrench, like a huge. I mean, where does a kid get that from? It's crazy. And then it builds up to this fight, and then it just makes you think, what would the actual? I mean, we'll never know, but what would it have been? Be nice to know if somebody's to sit him down and go, what did you actually have planned?
Who was left to fight at this point? I mean, the fake FBI agent dudes, I guess.
Yeah, I'm guessing it probably would have been a bunch of the fake, yeah, the rival gang, all the big guys, because they were big, weren't they?
Who were that sort of stuff? It was kind of the same for Mr. Nice Guy, wasn't it? It was never really a cool, you know, a big fight end scene. It was always a bit of a gimmick, wasn't it?
Yeah, because you always assumed it was going to be, oh God, now I can't remember the guy's name, and it's going to do my head in. Australian actor, martial arts guy. Why can't I remember his name?
The main villain, the guy who
I should really just know off the tip of my tongue like straight away. But anyway, because he sets it up like, oh, we're going to get a big fight at the end, and then instead we got the whole hands being tied, weird thing.
Then finding a big.
Yeah. And we didn't get a fight. And I'm like, oh, yes. Yeah, the whole wheel, you know, fighting the big plant machinery.
Oh, for God's sake. Richard Norton.
There you go, Richard Norton. I'm terrible with names. One thing I am going to say now, I'm going to get this set from the outset, is I am terrible with names. Yeah. Really bad.
I totally forgot, just looking at the cast list, that Sammo Hung does a cameo, doesn't he? Is in his little spandex on a bike. Do you remember that?
I missed the nice guy. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. In the scene where they're in the back of the van.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he directed, didn't he? But
even the progression from this film to Mr. Nice Guy, there's a definite change in how he's moving. And that ankle break. It was never the same after that, I don't think. I think he kind of got back, work schedules being as they are, you know, and it, obviously at the age that he was at the time, he never moved quite the same after this ankle break on Rumble. I don't think, anyway. I mean, other people might think otherwise, but he quite possibly got back to things too quick. I seem to remember somewhere that he agreed to come back to do... Thunderbolt, because schedules, it was obviously Sammo's film, And he didn't, you know, he just, I don't know whether it was a case of he didn't want to let people down or whatever, but it was shot not long after. And obviously getting over an ankle break, I don't know how complex it was, but, you know, you start jumping around on something too soon, then it just leaves it permanently wrecked.
Well, you're always going to feel it as well, to be honest.
Yeah. What are your research? What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the films that he did before and after.
Yeah. Yeah, so this, I mean, so before that was Twin Dragons would have been just before this, I imagine, from memory. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, if you always forget about First Strike.
Yeah, that was straight after. That was not long after this.
Yeah, Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt was next, then First Strike, then Mr. Nice Guy. I'm showing my Jackie Chan geek now. But I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. Was Twin Dragons just before Rumble, wasn't it?
Twin Dragons was.
Was it 92, 93?
Oh, 92.
Yeah, go.
That's a little way before. Yeah.
Okay, so what am I missing from the gap then? Go on.
All right, so in between. Now, obviously, I'm not quite sure which release schedule I'm looking at here. But you got, after Twin Dragons, Police Story 3.
Yes, of course.
City Hunter.
Yeah.
Crime Story.
Oh, of course, City Hunter. Yeah, of course.
Crime Story.
That's a bizarre film. We'll have to do one of the fights from City Hunter at some point as well, because that is a strange film. That is a very funny film.
And then I'm in the Bronx.
Cool. Well, there we go, guys. I think that probably brings us to the end of our random ramblings of the gang fight from Rumble in the Bronx.
Yeah.
So what do we think?
Well, do we give it a rating?
I think we should
give these ratings.
The fight scene.
Yeah.
Ooh, are we talking fight scenes in the whole sphere of fight scenes, or are we talking Jackie Chan fight scenes?
I don't know. It's arbitrary. We're the masters of our own destiny.
Okay, so I'm always a little bit biased because I really like this. The grand scheme of fight scenes of all time, I would say this is a solid 7 out of 10. Yeah. What do you think?
I'd give it a bit more. I'd say like 7.8.
Okay, we're doing points as well, aren't we?
Yeah, 100 point scale.
It's a solid. It is. I mean, as a performance wise from Jackie, it's awesome. I just think, as you mentioned before, there's those somewhat weird misses and somewhat like there's some strange parts in it that don't fully make sense. But I'm biased because this fight scene and the film as a whole is the film that made me kind of go, I want to do martial arts again and I want to do Jackie Chan stuff. So without this, there would be none of this.
I want to throw a sofa at someone.
Yeah. I want to jump down between a very small gap between a truck and a wall. And because that, I remember when that particular shot, when he jumps down in the car park between the van, I mean, I know it's all set up and everything, but at the time I remember like 15, 16 year old me going, wow, he nearly got hit by a truck and there's a little tiny gap. And I remember like taking the tape down to my dad and going, watch this. Because this was all sold on the whole, no stuntman, no equal thing. So like, you're like, yeah, this is, obviously it was him doing it, but you don't have any, I didn't anyway, you didn't have any appreciation for how they set everything up. In my head, he jumped off the side of a car park, landed, and then nearly got hit by a truck. And that was all one sequence in my 15-year-old head. There was no, you know, there was no cuts, no edits, nothing. But yeah, it's badass.
Isn't it crazy now, like, how far we've come with like parkour and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, that car park jump from the car to the balcony is obviously was so crazy.
Yeah.
At the time.
Mm-hmm.
And 17, 18 year old kids are doing that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Just on YouTube.
On YouTube under completely zero controlled circumstances. It's just
absolutely mad. Yeah, it is. Now, when you think about it, back then it was like, holy shit, this is crazy. But there was, from what I understand, I don't know which versions in the film, because it's too hard to tell because it's too far away. But Stanley Tong, the director, did it as well.
Yeah.
And this, some people suggest that it is him in the take that they use in the film, but you can't really tell. It's too far away. But obviously that Jackie did it as well. But yeah, that, I mean, that's just nuts. I mean, you don't get many directors that go, right, fuck it, I'll do it first. I'll go first. Let's see if it works. We can carry on making the film without the director, but we kind of need the lead. Mm. I'll do it first.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
But he was.
No, that was really enjoyable. I liked watching that action sequence. And
good. Well, thanks for joining me to do it. It made it all the more better than just me sitting here waffling on for 50 minutes about Jackie Chan in his little black vest and beating people up with skis.
Yeah, you've got to give it an extra 0.5 for the black vest.
Okay. And the jeans.
And the jeans. Nice
the tight jeans. Hmm? And the what?
Nice tight denim.
Yeah, they were. Well, yeah. It's very 90s, isn't it?
Maybe he had some Chuck Norris action pants on.
Maybe. All right, dude. Well, thanks for joining us. Have you got much on? You got much going on? I like to do this at the end of my podcast. Ask people. I'm nosy what people are doing.
Yeah, I'm very busy at the moment, going through lots of changes.
Oh.
As we've had discussions about. So.
Yes, lots going on behind the scenes. And we need to get our... We need to get our training. Oh,
shut up!
Everybody knows we're doing it anyway. So, listen, I've got.
I did have a kickabout this morning, actually, from Lena.
Did you? Well, I've got this next couple of weeks. I'm sure I could probably wrangle a bit of time for me to come over and do a little bit.
Yeah.
Get the camera out. We'll kick about a little bit. Kick some pads. We could film an 80s training montage.
Do it.
With music and everything.
Yeah, let's do it.
There we go. We've just arranged it on the podcast, so we've got to do it now. Also, just a little bit of housekeeping before we go, so I don't forget to do it. Please do forget. No, don't. That's the wrong English. Please don't forget.
Do not forget. Remember.
That's the one. We've got a new Patreon out, which some people have very kindly joined. I'll put the link in the show notes. But it's literally £1 or £2 a month. There's not anything in the world you can get for £2 a month. I don't think. Not anything worthwhile having anyway. So you can get early access to like this podcast. You can get early access. Obviously, you can't get early access to this one because you're already listening to it. But you could have done. You could have done if you were in the Patreon group. Exclusive behind the scenes stuff. Maybe some more things with myself and Martin. Who knows if we actually get around to recording it.
Do they get to suggest if they're a Patreon?
Yep, they get to be part of the community in there and suggest ideas for stuff of which the patrons in there have already been doing. Loads of early access, behind the scenes stuff, all that goodness. And of course, to know that you are supporting the podcast in your small £2, £1 way. But lots of people doing that, it all helps. So get involved with that. And also, as the bumper at the start mentioned, you know, buy your Art Marshall t-shirts through our link and you not only get awesome t-shirts, but we get a small percentage back too, which goes towards the show, which all helps. Give Mintmaster some love. Give Marshallitics some love. Art Marshall and Marshallitics is so hard to not get mixed up because it sounds so similar. But yeah, all those people, give them some love. And next week as well, I'm going to be sharing some details about a new sponsor that's coming on board. But I can't say anything yet. So you just have to wait. Exciting times for the podcast. Well, your microphone went quiet then. You just moved your lips.
Because I spoke in a very low, sexy voice.
You're doing that, what's it called? ASMR, is it, or whatever it is? That when they whisper?
Yeah. It's horrible, though, because they do this. Don't put that
on. They make food noises. Don't do that. Anyway,
I'm literally like people eating noodles. Very strange.
Don't go down that road. Watch on the internet? Jesus Christ.
I've seen some of it.
Well,
people eating fried chicken.
Well, anyway, you go clean your browser history and I'll see you next week, dude.
What a way to finish.
4 our podcast by making your Art Marshall orders via the link in our show notes. Art Marshall. Art Marshall. Streetwear inspired by martial arts culture.